KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Patterson, California.
I live in Richmond.
I live in Daly City, top of the hill Daly City.
Noe Valley.
Coming up, taxes are due tomorrow for many of us, but there's a new kind of tax in the East Bay that has almost no precedent.
To me, it's like an ethical and moral responsibility to pay taxes towards the actual services that we want to see happen in our community, and I want to see Ohlone people gain access back to their land.
And we'll go behind the scenes of a different kind of business, a traveling notary.
I'd rather like Superman than Batman. Just, you know, hop in my car and then zoom.
Cross Currents is next. Stay with us. While many of us are rushing to pay our state and federal taxes this week, some Bay Area residents are paying money to a different authority, local Native Americans. A group of indigenous women in the East Bay have gotten together and levied a tax on residents for the land they're living on. They're already bringing in money, and they're doing it without going through the U.S. government. Our economics reporter, Jeremy Dalmas, wanted to understand how this tax is different from the ones you're legally required to pay every April.
If you don't pay the IRS, you owe extra taxes. And eventually, the government can take away your passport, throw you in jail, and even seize your land. That last one is especially familiar to Karina Gould. The land her ancestors lived on is now part of the cities of Oakland and San Leandro.
My name is Karina Gould. I'm the spokesperson for the Confederated Villages of Lashon.
At the beginning there, she introduced herself in Chechenyo.
Yes, the Chechenyo language is the first language of the East Bay people. There was actually 8 different tribes of Ohlone people with 8 different languages and 8 different creation stories. So we are actually different nations.
Gould is one of the co-heads of the Segorite Land Trust, whose mission is to bring Chechenyo and Karkin Ohlone lands back under the stewardship of Native Americans. And how they're funding that effort is novel. They've imposed what they're calling the Sha'umi land tax.
Sha'umi in our language, the Chechenyo language of the East Bay people, it means a gift.
They're asking all non-Indigenous residents of the East Bay to pay a certain amount, depending on their home size or rent. Now, this isn't a tax that goes through the IRS. It's voluntary. According to the U.S. government, it's the same as donating money to any nonprofit. You just go on the land trust's website and pay through PayPal. But they don't call it a donation. Saying it's a tax asserts their sovereignty. It implies they have the authority to tax. Gould and her co-founder were originally wary of even calling it a tax because of negative connotations with that word, and because they don't believe that land should even be able to be purchased. But they found that the framing was effective.
I think that people understand what that word tax means, and I think that they are willing to be able to participate in that kind of way.
Here's how the finances work. The land trust suggests that you pay the tax annually. If you rent, then it's a small portion of that annual rent, less than 1%. And if you own a home, it's calculated by bedroom. It works out to around $60 to $500 a year. But those numbers are recommendations. People can pay what they want, when they want. Last year, the program brought in $80,000 from 800 specific contributions. Since the Ohlone aren't recognized by the federal government, there are many rights that they don't have. If they were recognized, they'd be given land, get medical insurance, and be able to collect certain taxes on their land. So the land tax is one way to obtain the resources they are denied by a government which doesn't acknowledge their existence. And beyond bringing in money, the tax is also a way to promote the idea that non-Indigenous people have an obligation.
And that it's your responsibility as settlers that come onto our land to actually give something back. And this is an easy way of doing that, a way for us to heal the horrific past that's not that long ago.
The tax launched in 2015. It was inspired by a similar program called the Honor Tax that benefits the Wiat tribe in Northern California and has been going for about a decade. In 2017, a similar program was adopted in Seattle for the Duwamish tribe. They call it real rent. This is an idea that is spreading. But unlike your income tax to the U.S. government, there aren't traditional repercussions for not paying. The Segurité Land Trust can't put a lien on your property. So why would someone pay? Haleh Zandi lives in the East Bay, and she pays.
Yes, I pay my Sha'umi land tax.
Is there a repercussion, you would say, for not paying the tax?
That is based on people's own ethics and morals.
For her, it's a tangible way to acknowledge the horrific treatment of Native Americans in California.
To me, it's like an ethical and moral responsibility to pay taxes towards the actual services that we want to see happen in our community. And I want to see Ohlone people gain access back to their land and save their ceremonial sites, save their sacred sites, and become, you know, recognized and respected as people who have survived the colonization and genocide.
And the tax is really helping. Karina Gould first started thinking about a trust to protect Native lands back in 2011. 4 years later, after they started bringing money from the land tax, they had enough resources to really establish the land trust. By the end of 2017, they were gifted their first piece of land by an organization that Haleh Zandi helped co-found.
So where we're walking to the back part of the land is actually Segurité Land Trust area.
An organization called Planting Justice owns these 2 acres of land here in the Sobrante Park neighborhood of East Oakland. They have a nursery that is staffed mostly by people who were formerly incarcerated. Right now, they're in the process of creating something called a cultural easement that will permanently protect this back quarter acre as an Ohlone cultural site, no matter who may own it in the future. And once Planting Justice pays off their loan on the property, they'll give the title to the Segurité Land Trust, and then they'll lease back the land for their nursery. Meaning both organizations will work together on the land, but with the indigenous-run land trust having the control. And even though these 2 acres are right next to the 880 freeway, it feels open and calm here. Karina Gould says this is the specific area where her ancestors lived.
Yeah, if you can drown out the freeway a little bit, yeah, it totally is someplace where you can imagine where people have been for thousands of years.
They're about to build an arbor with a fire pit in the center where they'll have traditional dances. And they're also planting native plants that are used for medicine and basket weaving. They're hoping to establish a checkerboard of land around the East Bay and eventually build a roundhouse.
A roundhouse is our spiritual center. It's a place that we haven't had in our own territory for 200 years. And it's a way for us to actually do what our obligations are, is to sing and dance our songs here to heal the land.
With all this talk of taxes, I wanted to know how Karina Gould felt about having to sit down every April and pay her own income tax.
Yes. You know, I think that there's sometimes when you're a Native person, sometimes you just don't want to think about things like that. Yeah, one of these days, it would be great to sit down with some folks that are senators and talk to them about how is it possible for us to not pay these taxes on land that was stolen from us.
For now, Gould and her colleagues have to go over the head of the U.S. government. The Sha'umi land tax is a way to bring resources to Native people who were here for thousands of years before the IRS even existed. In East Oakland, on Ohlone land, this is Jeremy Dalmas for Cross Currents.
Jeremy is our economics reporter. You can reach him at economy@kalw.org. And we'll have a link to more details about the Sha'umi land tax on our website, kalw.org, and click Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba.
When we think of big moments in our lives, we often imagine images, wedding pictures, baby announcements, smiling in front of a new house. But for all of these events, there's also paper, lots and lots of paper that needs to get signed and approved by the state. So when those big moments happen, there's often someone else there beside you and your family, someone you don't spend very much time with, but who you couldn't do it without. Producer Casey Miner introduces us to one such person in this episode of The Specialist, a podcast covering work you don't think about and the people who do it. Arena Collins lives in the Windsor Gardens Skilled Nursing Facility.
The room is a modern-day bleak government green with a shared television set and a schoolroom clock.
She's been here for about 9 months now. She's 56 years old, and right now, this room is her home. She had her first stroke a few years ago, then another one in early May, then another one. After that, her family moved her out of the city where she'd lived for almost four decades and brought her to the Bay Area to live with her cousin.
I'm grateful, but I want to go home. I feel like Dorothy. You know, when I click my heels together, I want to go home. I don't want to be here.
But going home wasn't an option, and after a few months, taking care of her got to be too much for her family members, and Arena says she didn't want to be a burden. So they helped her get into Windsor Gardens, about a half hour from where they live. She says, honestly, it's not so bad, but it's not a home. She wants to move back out on her own again, but she can't quite yet.
When I had my stroke, I lost everything. Everything in my house, it was like a walk away. And I walked away from everything I had, so everything includes a birth certificate.
She's not totally sure how this happened. She doesn't remember a lot about those days after the stroke, but she thinks there just wasn't time to sort through everything thoroughly. So now she's here, trying to start again. And before she can move forward, she needs to apply for a birth certificate. That's what's going to let her prove her identity to future landlords and apply for other documents she needs. To do that, she needs a witness, a professional witness.
Yeah, just, you know, get up in the morning, drive wherever I get a call, I just drive there, do my job, go to the second one, third one. I never get to think about what exactly I do. It's only now that you asked that I'm thinking about it.
I'm Casey Miner, and this is The Specialist.
My name is Sunil Jaswal.
Sunil Jaswal, Sunny for short, is a notary public. If you've met him, chances are you've spent about 5 minutes with him, maybe 10, or in extraordinary circumstances, 15. But they were probably pretty important minutes. Here's why. When you do something like authorize someone to help you get a birth certificate, draw up a will, sign a healthcare directive, all those things have to be notarized. That means an official from the state has to come and verify that you are who you say you are, that you're the one signing your own name, that you understand what you're signing, and that no one's coercing you into it.
How do you with you?
Are you serious? Do I look like that by ID? I was laying in bed one day. Let me see.
Do you want me to find it for you?
No, I don't think it would be possible to find it. Red, white?
Earlier this week, he got a call from a local nonprofit that's helping Arena Collins get her documents in order. On the morning I met him, he was headed down to Windsor Gardens for a house call. In certain ways, it's very routine, but in other ways, it is not at all. Like a superhero, he answers your call, grabs his bag.
I have my office in my bag. That's my whole office.
Stamps your documents. And leaves.
You're like a notary Batman. You know, like somebody gives you a call and you grab your bag and you go. Does that feel, what do you think about that description?
Yeah, I think, yes. I'd rather like Superman than Batman.
Okay.
Because I like to drive around and fly. Just, you know, hop in my car and then zoom. Notary Superman.
Notary Superman. In a Prius.
The farthest I had to drive once was for fingerprints. This guy from LA called me, said that One of my person needs fingerprints and he lives in Oregon.
The guy needed the fingerprints for his job, but Sonny's only licensed to work in California, so he couldn't go to Oregon. Instead, he drove overnight right up to the border.
It took 7 hours.
And met the guy in a casino parking lot.
And stayed there overnight, and then early morning, like 9 a.m., like I was there at the border. And we went to the casino yard, and there was like a parking lot in the casino. So I parked my car, and he showed up. He called me and said, I'm here. And then I did his fingerprint.
Right there in the casino parking lot. And then, since it was Saturday, and he'd convinced his wife and young son to come with him, they turned the drive home into a mini vacation.
And took my family back through the redwood trees, the national park. That was fun.
He drives more than 30,000 miles a year. Casino parking lots, homes, jails.
Senior nursing care facilities, residential care facilities, rehabilitation center, hospitals, doctor's clinic, law offices. I get calls from like weird places and I just go there wherever they tell me to.
Like pet stores.
So it happened once that, you know, this person called me and they wanted to meet me at a pet store. Because one of the pet had accidentally bitten the other person.
The guy who got bitten wanted the pet owner to pay the bill and wanted a notarized agreement.
Yeah, I have seen so many like weird documents in this 9 years. You cannot believe.
His Yelp reviews are uniformly positive and thank him for answering the call on weekends or in the dead of night. Like this one from a woman in the middle of a custody battle.
This was an urgent matter that we needed help with late at night, so I really appreciate him helping me out.
So maybe it's not a surprise that to get to know Sonny, you have to get in the car with him. And that's where I spent my whole day. Before we visited Arena Collins at the nursing facility, we went to a car repair shop. Later on, we swung by a bakery's corporate headquarters, and that was just the middle of the day. He'd already driven close to 200 miles by the time he picked me up at 10 a.m.
Can I take that?
Yes.
Red Tomatoes is Sonny. How may I help you?
His business is called Red Tomatoes, named after the movie review site Rotten Tomatoes.
No problem. We'll see you on Monday at 4:30.
And if you're thinking, that must sometimes get confusing, the answer is yes, it does. While we're in the car, his phone rings every few minutes. And yes, Hotel California is his ringtone.
I was born in 1974. I still listen it a lot. Like, you know, I was born in India. And kind of growing up, you know, all the elder kids used to listen to to this song. And this is, I don't know, one of my favorites.
Good thing, because he hears that song 20 to 25 times a day.
Hi, Ed. This is Sonny.
Every time he gets a call.
Senior home. I'm going to take this.
Red tomatoes, I'm going to help you.
Luce, can I take that?
Are you often in the position of writing down phone numbers and addresses while you're driving?
I have to multitask all the time. I have to eat my lunch when I'm driving. Because there are days where I don't get to make a stop, even for gas. Sometimes, like, it's time-sensitive things, so I have to just do everything on my driver's seat.
Time-sensitive, like when he's summoned to someone's deathbed so they can sign a power of attorney, authorizing their family to take over their affairs.
He was really in a really bad shape. Like, he could barely speak. And, you know, they had to give him, like, water, like, not even by glass, like, with drops. And he was in a bad shape. And when I went in, like, there were, like, all the family members gathered around. And they were sad because, you know, they knew that he won't be living for too long. But I had to do what I did.
Sign, stamp, leave.
My job is, you know, being like doing the legal formality, what the law, you know, tells us to do. And then this is the emotional part of the client or customer that I have to balance. Like, you know, I have to keep my, you know, straight face, like a poker face, show no emotions.
Sonny told me this is a hard part of his job.
In India, people don't like to really talk about death, or, you know, they always want to avoid the discussion of death. Even in my family, like, you know, if something regarding death comes up and they will say, oh, you're not supposed to say that. But that is the fact of life, and, you know, So that kind of is a little confusing and overwhelming, because I see it every day and we were not supposed to talk about death.
One thing he does to cope is listen to a lot of music. And on days like these, he prefers Indian songs called ghazals.
Because my mind always kind of keeps on rushing between appointments, between handling my clientele, going through a place like in signing and absorbing what happened there, trying to grasp everything and mentally and emotionally kind of balancing myself.
Now, I feel like I might be giving you the impression that everything Sunny does is sad, which isn't the case at all. Here's another Yelp review. He's got dozens, but this was my favorite.
Last Friday, I got domestically partnered, legally. I'm sorry I didn't invite you to the ceremony. It was really small. Just me, my man, and Sunil from Red Tomatoes. We set up an in-home notary ceremony. Sunil was running a bit late, and so I called to make sure he was still coming. He had us down for a different day, but said he could be at our place in 5 minutes. And he wasn't kidding. 5 minutes later, he was ringing the bell. We sat at my lovely white pedestal table. I had a black pen, he had a blue. The notary just used whichever pen was closer to him, and we began the process. I signed, he signed, we all signed. There was some official stamping in the end, and it was all legit. Sound the trumpets, folks. And Sunil, the notary, was there to make it all official.
So I have done this domestic partnership a lot, and I had been to a ceremony too, where two partners are signing and they are having like a function, cutting cakes and people having wine, and I was like, oh wow. And they offering me wine, which I cannot accept because I'm public official job. It's fun.
Sunny started his business after he lost his job as a legal assistant at an immigration law firm. Being a notary was supposed to be a temporary gig until he found a new job, but he really liked it. It was simple, straightforward, and helpful.
It was something more than making money than providing service. So I think that is something that was installed in us since we were small. My father was in the army, and we had a regimented life, like strict, rules and regulation. And I think that might be the reason that I look more towards service, providing service rather than making more money.
After 9 years of doing this, he makes around $4,000 or $5,000 a month, which in the Bay Area doesn't go very far, but it is his full-time job.
I'm in the right profession, and this is what I was born to do, I guess, because I want to provide service. I want to do something important, I would say.
I have to say, I've talked to a lot of specialists, and I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone express so much pure delight in their work, especially when it involves so many people they'll probably never see again.
I just felt like, this is what I need to do, and I just went with it. I do play an important role in people's everyday life, but it's like only for 5 minutes, but it's an important one.
Like his 5 minutes with Arena Collins at Windsor Gardens.
I just want your thumbprint that goes right there.
Can I roll it?
No, just impression is okay. Either way is fine. Yeah, just put it down. There you go. Perfect. Thank you. Its ink list comes off.
After she signs all the papers, he has her put her thumb on his ink pad and then press it in his notary journal. That's the record book full of names, dates, signing details, addresses, and thumbprints he's required to keep in case anyone ever asks questions about any of the documents he's notarized. Though, he says, they almost never do. Still, he's got boxes and boxes full of people's thumbprints in his office. That's it. They're done. He'll get back in his car, and she'll move on with her life.
This is going forward. I want to get a home up here and be comfortable. I'll get some nice coffee or tea, go to Barnes & Noble and read a little bit. I'll be okay. I'm excited about it.
Sunny is a witness, both literally and kind of spiritually. He's the stranger you trust to be with you during some of the best and worst moments of your life, to verify what's happening, to confirm that those moments happened and that you were there.
I get emotional when I talk about people, and because I get to meet like people from all sorts of life, you know, people who have like mansions, and then people who live like broke, because everyone needs a notary.
Someday, we'll probably all need a notary.
That was Notary Superman, an episode of the Specialist podcast produced by Casey Miner. Its radio home is here at KLW. That piece was mixed by Seth Samuel, who also wrote all the music you heard, except for Hotel California and the Indian Guzzles. You can find more episodes of The Specialist at KALW.org. And that's our show. Today's Cross Currents team includes Atemua Tan, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Amber Miles, Lisa Morehouse, Truk Nguyen, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are James Rollins, Gabe Graben, and Jackie Sajiko. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. You're listening to Sylvia Mathias, a Bay Area electronic musician. Since the 80s, she's been composing interactive and improvisational pieces. Tomorrow, she'll be at The Bindery in San Francisco. Show starts at 8 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.